broadcasting to physical therapists around the world.
It is.
This is the PT Pinecast.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
This episode is brought to you commercial free by Aureus Medical Staffing, the leaders in travel physical therapy. Find them online at AureusMedical.com. Giving you some details about some movements inside CMS with their fee schedules for the 2020 year, as well as the MIPS program and how we head into next year with that. We want to thank Aureus for bringing you this special edition with APTA's Kara Gaynor and APTA's Heather Smith as they break down what's important in these programs. Aureus, the leader in travel PT, do what you want to do, where you want to do it. Positions in all 50 states for physical therapists and physical therapist assistants, from new grads to seasoned professionals. You can do what you want, where you want to do, in all 50 states. And they've got you covered too, not only all the different settings that you might want to practice in, but they've got all the information in terms of continuing education units, licensing, taxes when you move from one state but live in another. So find them online, AureusMedical.com. And again, that's AureusMedical.com.
This is the PT Pinecast.
All right, the best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. I'm physical therapist Jimmy McKay. Something happened with our profession a couple of days ago. So, of course, we turn to our governing body, the American Physical Therapy Association, exactly where we get our information, on social media, of course. And I tripped across Kara Gaynor, who was on there talking about some changes in the physician fee schedule for the calendar year 2020. This was going on, and we were eagerly awaiting an update from CMS, and that's the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. They issued a proposed rule that includes proposals to update payment policies, payment rates, and quality provisions for services furnished under the Medicare physician fee schedule. As I mentioned, this is happening on or after January 1st, 2020. And for that, we bring in APTA's Kara Gaynor. Kara, I understand most of those words that I just read, but I'm going to need you to give me the scoop.
Sure. Thanks, Jimmy. You know, what you just covered was a great overview of the fee schedule, but I think, you know, what listeners might be most interested in is the provisions that truly impact them. A couple of items that I wanted to just mention is regarding the change in regulations to clarify the KX modifier threshold, and then talk a little bit about the new therapy assistant modifiers that have to be affixed to the claim when services are furnished in whole or in part. CMS, if you recall, in the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2018, the hard therapy cap was eliminated and replaced with an exceptions process. And so when medically necessary services go over a certain threshold, but they continue to be medically necessary, you affix a KX modifier to the claim to indicate to CMS that these services are medically necessary in your clinical judgment, and CMS or Medicare should pay that claim. So CMS implemented that policy through last year's fee schedule rule, but in this year's rule, they're noting that they didn't actually update the regulation. So they are saying that they propose to revise the regulation text to clarify that the KX modifier threshold is in fact the threshold and is not a cap. And then they make some minor modifications related to the applicable years for the targeted medical review process. And if you recall, the targeted medical review threshold is $3,000. And I'll note that is not a cap. It is merely a threshold over which, if claims are submitted over that $3,000 threshold with the KX modifier, they could be subject to medical review, but it's very rare. It's a very targeted process, hence the word targeted. You know, I always try to reiterate that that is not a cap. And as long as the documentation supports medical necessity of the services and you feel in your clinical judgment that continued therapy services are in fact medically necessary, you should not fear that $3,000 threshold.
Yeah. This is a win, and this is a win for not only physical therapists and those in the care of our patients, but our patients as well. Differentiating between that threshold and that cap, if you're saying it's medically necessary, you can go over. You just need to explain it with that modifier right now.
Correct. So the other policy that I wanted to mention that's in the 2020 fee schedule rule is something that builds upon what CMS outlined in last year's fee schedule rule. So going back again to the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2018, Congress directed CMS to establish two new modifiers to indicate on the claim when physical or occupational services are furnished in whole or in part by a PTA or an OTA. And that would be effective January 1st, 2020. And then beginning January 1st, 2022 is when a payment differential would go into effect. Specifically, when services are furnished in whole or in part by a PTA or OTA, those services would be reimbursed at 85% of the physician fee schedule rate. So that was in legislation. Congress directed CMS to do that, obviously setting certain dates in stone, the January 1st, 2020 being that first date. So in last year's fee schedule rule, CMS established two new modifiers that would be used to be placed on the claim to indicate when those services are furnished in whole or in part. It is the CQ modifier that will indicate when outpatient physical therapy services are furnished in whole or in part by a physical therapist assistant, and then a CO modifier would indicate when outpatient occupational therapy services are furnished in whole or in part by an occupational therapy assistant. In addition, in last year's rule, CMS also put forth a definition of what constitutes in part. And CMS essentially said, if services are furnished by a PTA or OTA more than 10% of the overall service, that would constitute in whole or in part. If a service was furnished by a PTA or OTA that is less than 10% of the time of that service, then it would not constitute in part, and hence you would not affix the modifier. But if it went over that threshold of 10%, you would be affixing the modifier to the claim. But recognizing that there's a number of various clinical scenarios where a PTA or OTA might be involved in the delivery of care, and CMS had not had enough time to really think those through, they said CMS would develop more guidance in the 2020 fee schedule rule. So fast forward to this summer, keeping in mind that ABTA and AOTA and others had been working with CMS over the last essentially 9 months to help CMS understand what those clinical scenarios might be and how they should interpret that 10% standard. We felt comfortable going into the fee schedule rule that they would in fact interpret that 10% standard and apply it to different clinical scenarios in a way that would minimize disruptions in care. And unfortunately, they did not agree with our recommendation and really went in an complete opposite direction. So essentially what they've proposed is that effective for dates of service on or after January 1st, 2020, obviously, you know, therapy providers in the outpatient setting, that includes private practice, hospital, SNF, home health, CORFs, rehab agencies, you know that you're going to have to affix that CQ or CO modifier when services are furnished in whole or in part. Keep that in mind as the foundation, but how they've proposed to apply that 10% standard is where it gets very convoluted. I'll try to explain it a little bit, but essentially, when deciding whether the therapy assistant modifier applies, CMS is proposing that if the assistant participated in the service concurrently with the therapist for only a portion of the total time that the therapist delivers a service, the CQ or CO modifier would apply when the minutes furnished by the therapy assistant are greater than 10% of the total minutes spent by the therapist furnishing the service. And when they say concurrently, they're talking about team-based therapy.
Okay.
So for example, if a therapist is delivering care for 30 minutes, we'll say therapeutic exercises, and they involve the therapist assistant for 5 of those minutes to help, and that assistance is considered therapeutic in nature, because that 5 minutes exceeds 10% of those 30 minutes, you would have to apply the modifiers to both units under the 8-minute rule. Their 30 minutes means you could bill 2 units. So that's concurrent or team-based therapy, the approach that CMS is proposing. And in terms of if the PTA or OTA and the therapist each separately furnish portions of the same service, the CQ or CO modifier would apply when the minutes furnished by the therapy assistant are greater than 10% of the total minutes, which is the sum of the minutes spent by the therapist and the therapy assistant for that service. So, for example, if 40 minutes of therapeutic exercise is delivered, and that's 3 units that could be billed under the 8-minute rule. And let's say the therapist delivered 35 minutes of that care, and the assistant delivered 5 minutes of that care for a total of 40 minutes. Because that 5 minutes exceeds the 10% of the total minutes, all 3 units would get the CQ or CO modifier applied. Obviously, what I've just said over the last couple of minutes probably is very hard to visualize or conceptualize. It sounds very difficult to calculate. So you might be thinking, how do I even do this?
Right.
How is this feasible? I'm trying to deliver patient care. And so we have a number of issues with CMS's proposal. We think it's inherently complex. I think there are some fundamental flaws to the policy. On top of this policy, CMS is proposing to add a requirement that the treatment notes explain via a short phrase or statement the application or non-application of the CQ or CO modifier for each service furnished that day. Yeah. Even if you don't use the modifier for one of the codes that you bill that day, you would have to indicate
explain
why or why not it was applied.
Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Even though CMS acknowledges in the rule that the documentation already should be supportive of how many minutes, you know, an assistant might be involved in the delivery of care. So this is on top of that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking about administrative burden. It sounds like, you know, this would be adding to it, as you mentioned, you know, the issue being complexity. And a couple things come up. Number one, I'm sure the physical therapist assistants are looking downstream saying, if where I'm working is going to be reimbursed at a lower rate, that's probably going to be passed on to my salary now or in the future for future physical therapist assistants and occupational therapist assistants. So that's got to be, it's a major issue for PTAs and OTAs as they look into this and they're looking down the road.
Exactly. And that trickles then down to how is that going to impact patient access?
Mm-hmm.
From what we've been hearing is it will have a detrimental impact on access to care.
Okay.
And so I want your listener to know that, like I said, we have some inherent issues with the policy. We are working collaboratively with AOTA and other organizations to advocate that CMS modify this policy in the final rule, more in line with what we had recommended they implement. In terms of what listeners can do, we will be making available a template comment letter for individuals to submit to CMS discussing this policy and explaining why it really doesn't make sense if the goal is to put patients first, as well as to reduce overall burden. So that should be available on the APTA website within the next couple of weeks. Also, just noting the fact that, you know, you mentioned how this might impact downstream and salary and what this might mean for the PTA profession. I did also just want to mention CMS or different staff within CMS who govern or work on home health policy. They have also issued their proposed rule for 2020. So payment policies for the home health prospective payment system for calendar year 2020. And within that proposed rule, they are proposing to allow PTAs and OTAs to furnish maintenance therapy under the home health benefit. Currently, they're not allowed to do so, but under this new rule, if it does go into effect as proposed, they would allow PTAs and OTAs to deliver maintenance therapy. So that is something to be aware of. I think CMS recognizes that with all of the payment methodology changes coming to home health next year, one of the concerns being that maintenance therapy, there may be an underutilization of it. They're trying to make it more accessible to patients by, you know, allowing home health agencies more latitude in resource utilization.
Okay. And now working in regulatory affairs, just break this down really briefly. This is a proposal. This is like CMS saying, hey, we're going to do this. We're also giving you some time to come and tell us why you may or may not be in favor of this. Is that really what a proposal? It's not a rule yet. It's a proposal.
Exactly. Under the law, they have to allow for a public comment process. And so this is the opportunity to weigh in with the agency and share your concerns, share your recommendations. You know, and it's important to remember, you don't want to just say, I don't like it or this is bad. You know, you can say this is bad and here's why and here's a solution or here's an alternative because you want to be helpful to the agency and help them understand why their policy, how it would impact patient care, how it would impact the profession. So that's always something important to remember. And that's really our template letter will include all of those arguments. But of course, it can be expanded upon and modified by an individual however they so choose.
Perfect. And that's good advice, you know, working with the United States government or your significant other is don't just say, no, I don't want to do this. Say, hey, I don't want to do this. Here's why. But here is what we should do together.
Exactly.
All right. Are we going to bring in Heather Smith now from the American Physical Therapy Association? Heather, how we doing?
Great. I never thought that NIPS would sound so simple.
Compared to everything we just talked about.
Yeah. This is the first time probably ever that we've talked about quality. And I feel like it's easy to follow Kara.
Excellent. All right. Well, lay it down for us. What's up with MIPS?
So the rule had some changes to the MIPS program, which we did anticipate. As many therapists know, this does apply to physical therapists in private practice. This is actually the first year that we've been participating in the program, 2019. And for those of you who this does impact, hopefully you know that your 2019 participation will impact your 2021 payment. So we're talking about proposals for the 2020 data collection year. There are a couple of things that therapists should be aware of. Number one, there are some proposed changes to the measures that would be available to physical therapists to report in 2020. Most of this is actually good news. There are a number of measures that have been proposed to be added to the list for reporting for therapists, and this includes measures such as the falls measures would actually be officially added to our list, measures for diabetic patients around neurologic evaluation and footwear screening also would be added to the list. In addition, some measures that we haven't seen before, like screening for depression with a follow-up plan where appropriate, tobacco use screening, and cessation. So pretty exciting to see measures being proposed to be added. There are some measures that are actually proposed for removal, one of which is the pain assessment on initial evaluation with follow-up plan measure. So stay tuned because, as we know, for those of you that followed pretty closely last year, some of the proposed changes went through, some did not. So when we see that final rule around the beginning of November, we will have the full list available for your reference on the APTA MIPS website so you know which measures are available to you for the 2020 reporting year if you're participating in the program. The other important thing to note is that, as most of you know, the MIPS program is pretty complex, but essentially the way the scoring works is scoring is done on a 0 to 100 point scale annually, and where your point total is determines whether you would receive a penalty or a downward adjustment, receive no change in payment, or receive an incentive, which is the goal for everybody. The proposal for the 2020 year is that the point total that you're aiming for is higher than 45 points. So 45 points in 2020 would get you a neutral payment. So you want to be over 45 points in order to earn that incentive payment. If you're below 45 points, you would be subject to some type of downward adjustment. So just to let therapists know, that is proposal is a pretty significant increase from this year. The point total is 30 points this year to receive the neutral payment. So we're seeing, you know, Medicare continue to evolve this program. And, you know, every year we see these point totals, you know, really begin to increase as they mature the program.
Perfect.
And the last thing that I'll just mention that we don't have a lot of details on, but is a big request for information from Medicare is, again, they're trying to streamline this program and make it a little bit less complex, which I know is somewhat ironic considering it's a fairly complex program. But they have discussed throughout this proposed rule significant changes that they're thinking about for the program for 2021. So again, that's not next year. It would be the year after. And what they're thinking about doing is creating some almost a streamlined version of the MIPS program. As many of you who this does impact know, there are currently four categories that you participate in: quality measurement, improvement activities, promoting interoperability, which most therapists don't participate in. That's the category that requires the use of certified EHR technology, and a category that looks at cost of care. The goal of these new MIPS value pathways, or MVPs, is to decrease the reporting burden and better align these categories across population health priorities and different conditions. And this actually would streamline the value of care that we deliver to our patients by really aligning all of the measures across these categories. There is the potential to decrease reporting burden by structuring the program this way, and there certainly are opportunities, but stay tuned because I'm sure there's going to be lots of comments and thoughts about how Medicare should evolve these new MIPS value pathways.
Perfect. Lots going on. It sounds like things are moving in the right direction in several things, and where we have concerns or potential issues, it sounds like we're putting our ducks in a row and going to be able to speak not only why we're disagreeing with some of these things, but a better solution. Is there anything else you guys wanted to cover?
Exactly. I guess I would just do a plug that APTA is offering a special webinar on the fee schedule rule where Heather and I will go into more detail on the proposals outlined in CMS's 2020 Physician Fee Schedule proposed rule, and that is scheduled for August 15th from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. And information on how to RSVP will be posted on APTA's website the week of August 5th.
I was just going to add, you know, obviously, you know, we've got tons of resources available, but if members have specific concerns about any of the areas that Kara and I discussed, not only will be there will be the template comment letter that folks can fill out and send into CMS, but we always are looking for feedback from members on these important topics during the proposed rulemaking period. And members can email us at advocacy@apta.org, and we're happy to talk with them more about their thoughts on the rule.
Yeah, it's one thing I think a lot of members don't necessarily know. There are people who are experts in these particular areas who will answer your questions. You go macro with something like a webinar, which you can get a lot of information, but then you can go micro. If you have a unique situation that you need an answer for specifically, you want to get it right. And that's just another feature of being a member of the American Physical Therapy Association. As Heather did allude to, there is a website about the MIPS program. It is nice and easy to remember, apta.org/MIPS, for more information about that. Lots of info always available at that website, apta.org. Ladies, appreciate you guys doing what you do for us and our profession and ultimately our patients, and appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule to explain it to a guy like me who kind of understands some of it, but you guys are on top of it.
Thanks so much for having us.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Calling all physical therapists.
Expand your knowledge and your practice with Rock Tape. Join their medical professional program at no cost to you.
And start getting 40% off retail pricing right now.
Just head to rocktape.com and click Become a Medical Pro
to get 40% off retail right now.
Rock Tape helps athletes of every level go stronger, longer.
With the best kinesiology tape, cutting-edge education, and fitness support products.
Physical therapists,
go to rocktape.com/start.
And use the code PTPINECAST when you sign up
for an extra 10% off your first order. Rock Tape, the best kinesiology tape.
Our home on the internet.
PTPINECAST.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting
to providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
I want to thank Brooks IHL, that's Brooks Rehabilitation Institute of Higher Learning, offering residencies, fellowship education, orthopedics, women's health, geriatrics, neurologic PT, pediatric sports. That's an overview of their residencies. Check out what they have to offer at brooksihl.org. World-class educational opportunities to the local and regional community. Check them out, brooksihl.org.